May I speak to you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Stir up your power, O Lord. With great might come among us. We prayed those words just a few minutes ago, and that's where we begin today. And it's almost precisely where we left off the last time I had a chance to preach with y'all. That was Sunday before last. We talked then about the power of God and what it might mean for God to break into this world and be amongst us in power and glory. I believe my exact words were, people get ready. So are you ready? Yeah, me neither. It's an impossible question, isn't it? How can we possibly get ready for the full might and majesty of the Almighty Godhead to come fully into this world, much less for God to do so as one of us? Well, the good news is that even though in our opening collect today, we are again reminded that we are sorely hindered by our sins, the overall tone of the scriptures for this Sunday is, well, at least a little less intimidating than it was 2 weeks ago when we kicked off the Advent season. Back then, we prayed for God's grace to help us cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light in this mortal life so that we might be able to face judgment upon Christ's return. 2 weeks ago, Isaiah longed for the good old days when God would rend the heavens and come down and the mountains would quake at God's presence and the nations of the world would quake at God's presence. And Jesus, in Mark's gospel 2 weeks ago, admonished us to take heed and keep watch, for we do not know when the master of the house will come, along with all that stuff about the darkening of the sun and the moon and the stars falling from heaven and the powers of heaven being shaken. So keep watch, lest he come suddenly and find us asleep. Last week it got a little better. We prayed for grace to heed the warnings of the prophets. Well, again, the warnings to repent and forsake our sins. But then we heard God call on Isaiah to comfort God's people, to pronounce that Jerusalem's iniquity has been pardoned. And from Mark last week, we heard the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. We heard how John the Baptizer prepared his way in the wilderness, echoing Isaiah. Well, this week, the good news gets even better. The gospel reading from John that we just heard underscores and elaborates on the message from Mark about the testimony of John the Baptist. And this week, the prophet Isaiah exclaims with what strikes me as, and the Bible nerds among us will have to forgive me for this pun, jubilation. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I got to beg your forgiveness for a moment because I'm going to cheat a little bit here. I'm going to mention a scripture, another passage, but one that is not appointed for today in our common lectionary. I hope you'll bear with me because I can't hear what we just heard and not think of the gospel according to Luke in chapter 4 when Jesus goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day in his hometown of Nazareth. And he stands up to read, and the assistant hands him a scroll, and this is what he reads from the scroll that was handed to him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that we've heard it a few times this morning, we recognize what Jesus read in Luke as being the opening verses of Isaiah chapter 61. But in Luke, the text goes on to say, "Then he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" So, about the nerdy Bible joke that I made a minute ago, about Isaiah's proclaiming God's word with jubilation. Well, it's a pun because, and it's bad when you have to explain the joke by saying, the reason it was funny was because. Well, the reason it was funny was because the year of the Lord's favor was known as the year of Jubilee. We get the specifics all the way back in Leviticus. "When you enter the land that I am giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath for the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their yield. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall count off 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the period of 7 weeks of years gives 49 years. Then you shall have the trumpet sounded loud. On the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall have the trumpet sounded throughout all your land, and you shall hallow the 50th year, and you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you." In the year of Jubilee, any land that had been bought or sold in the previous 49 years was to be returned to its original owners. Slaves were to be set free, captives released, debts forgiven. The year of the Lord's favor was to be a Sabbath of Sabbaths, a radical reset of human society, rooted in the fact that fields can only be farmed so many times before they become infertile, that therefore, every so often, the land must be allowed to lie fallow and recuperate its ability to produce. The 7-year Sabbath and the 49-year Jubilee became part of the larger system of social welfare that was legislated in the book of Leviticus. In other words, the principle of Jubilee started with the needs of the land, but then it got applied to the needs of the people. And that meant the needs of society. So yes, I believe it is jubilation that we hear in Isaiah today. It is this Jubilee, this year of the Lord's favor, this radical resetting of human society that Jesus, in Luke's gospel, announces has been fulfilled in the hearing of those who were present when he, the incarnate Son of God, read from the scroll of Isaiah. Now, this is the point in the sermon where I usually turn around and ask the so what question. So here it is. What does any of this have to do with the season of Advent? Nothing? Well, the purpose of the season of Advent is to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ who will, in his earthly ministry, enter the synagogue, read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and proclaim that the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, has been fulfilled at his coming. The same Jesus Christ whose arrival means good news for the poor, specifically for the poor, release for captives, recovery of sight for the blind. And by the way, the blind, that's you, me, everybody here. Healing for the brokenhearted and freedom for the oppressed. In Advent, we prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. We prepare for Jubilee, the radical resetting of human society on the grandest scale. How do we make ready for that? Well, perhaps the most important first step is for us to learn from the example of Jesus to see society as God sees it, as an extension of God's will for God's people and for God's creation. To learn to see through the eyes of Christ the injustice, the brokenness, the bondage, the blindness, the poverty that exists right here in our hearts, in our community. In the collect this morning, we prayed for God to be present among us because we are sorely hindered by our sins. These are our sins, and they hinder us indeed, especially when we cannot, when we will not, see them for what they are. How can we receive the liberation that Christ brings if we do not first acknowledge the chains that bind us? And not just as individuals, but as community. Because you see, God's vision, God's jubilee, is not about every person for him or herself. It's about the fact that justice does not exist unless it exists for all. That healing isn't complete until we are all healed together. That none of us is whole until we are all made whole in Christ. Maybe there's no such thing as being truly ready for the arrival of Christ in this world. But we can at least be readier. May God give us the courage to try.